Welcome to the Mindful Moments for Families and Schools podcast. This is Kelly Winkler, your host. If you are a parent or a teacher who would like to have a more peaceful, calm, and centered environment, then you are in the right place. In this podcast, we will learn to weave yoga and mindfulness into your daily routines to help both you and your children be able to regulate your emotions, feel connected, and be resilient. I'm excited to share these incredible tools with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to Mindful Moments for Families and Schools. This is Kelly. I am excited today to have on Yelena Basrak. Yelena is an intuitive parenting coach, and she guides moms of young children to calm the chaos in their home and in their head through Montessori and inner work. This means removing clutter and putting in place systems for a more harmonious living while creating a transformation where deeper needs are met. This conversation I had with Yelena was so great. We dive into what Montessori is and how you can apply some of those concepts at home or if you're a teacher into your classroom. We also really dive into parents doing some inner work for themselves and how that can affect your parenting and your child's behavior. So it's really fascinating and interesting, and Yelena had some wonderful tips to share. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's get started. Welcome, Yelena. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi, Kelly. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And why don't we start out by just tell us about you and your journey and how you came to be a parent coach.
Yeah. So it's definitely not something that I was actually planning on doing. And it's not something I ever thought I would do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it all came out as, you know, being a mom. I went through a heart situation at the beginning when my son was born, because his dad left after 3 weeks, which was a good thing. But so, like, we went through a lot of paperwork and we went to court and all that stuff. So as a new mom, I went through quite a hard time, you know, with my personal journey. Which did not help also in the motherhood journey and sort of, you know, what you do with the newborn, with the child, and as a single mom, being also in the States and having to come back where I'm from in Switzerland. So all that sort of made it even a bit more challenging, I would say, in this, like, mm-hmm. you know, new world of becoming a mom. And I think it must also have been a part in, like, my son's struggle with eczema and sleep and all that stuff. And so all this left me questioning, you know, a lot and how I was doing things, and also the food side of things with the impact of eczema on him, and emotional sides and all that, you know, started my healing process. And so I think for everybody, when we become parents, there is, you know, when we're trying to do things differently than our parents and we're trying to question things, we start a sort of like healing journey. But for me, really was into diving into Montessori, sort of, you know, just by chance, and seeing the huge impact it has on my child, positive impact, and then seeing how it made things easier for me as a mom, as a single mom, and then just the whole homeschooling part and etc. And then at the same time, going through different stages of healing, of finding. It's not a technique. It's more, you know, intuitive healing, I would say, with a man that really does things differently. Is my mentor, and so doing the training with him to actually become a certified intuitive therapeutics practitioner from his mm-hmm. own training was something that created such a huge transformation in my own life, in my child's life, that for me sort of kind of, you know, was the inspiration to want to help other parents, especially moms for now, but parents in general, into just really releasing those wounds that we have that make it so impossible to really open up to our children and feel that beautiful love and connection and feel less triggered, and in the same time have practical tools to implement at home that are just much easier than having to dig all those older wounds, but that also can have a huge impact too on the child.
Oh, I love it. So many people that I talk to, their passions and their businesses have come from those places of challenges, and the same for me. And also, I love what you bring up about parenting and having to heal our own inner child and our own wounds, because I really feel strongly that that's like the first step in becoming the parent that you want to be, is first going internally and helping to heal yourself so that you can show up for your kids the way that you want to.
Yeah, you say it so well. It's exactly that, because, you know, I see a lot of parents really, and a lot of mom, because moms are often, you know, there's often a lot of mom, especially nowadays, staying at home with the kids and you know, having to deal with all that. And they're trying so hard to do things differently. But if we still have those things inside of us, like, you know, that inner child inside of us that's, you know, still doesn't feel loved, doesn't feel received, it's really hard to be able to actually do things differently. And so it catches us, you know, as long as we don't actually honestly work on that and have the courage to, because it's not necessarily easy.
Oh, for sure. It is not easy. And it can be constantly a new challenge, especially as your kids get to new phases.
Yes.
And children experiencing new things. You know, I feel like, you know, I have four kids and they range in age from 17 down to 7. And with each new phase that we get to, I find that new things come up for me. Like, you know, I see them experience something like now as my teenagers are doing. And then old stuff comes up for me when I see them going through that phase, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a constant work in progress.
Yes, yes, yes. And then, you know, you add on, like, if you're a single mama, you may not have a partner, but there's always people around you that wake something up. And so you may be having an easy sort of time with your children, but then around you, if your husband is sort of triggering things inside of you, or your mom, your dad, your coworkers, it's such an important work in general, just for us, you know, as human beings, to actually be able to heal and be able to actually enjoy life and feel love and just feel, allow ourselves to feel all those good emotions that we all are comfortable with feeling, but that also means feeling the less comfortable emotions, so that, you know, those blockages
yes.
can be released.
Yeah, that's practicing mindfulness for me. That's what's been the biggest transformation, is allowing myself to accept all of the emotions and all of the things, you know, that are inside of me, and it's all okay. It's all part of me. And once we can learn to accept the difficult ones, then the joyous ones come more easily. So that's a big piece. Well, you mentioned a little bit about Montessori as part of your philosophy. So
yes.
I know that there might be people listening that don't know a lot about what Montessori's philosophy is. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, yes, yeah. And it's good to precise things, because I feel a lot of people are a bit also mixed up with what Montessori really is. You know, there's often this misconception that it's sort of kind of similar to Waldorf, and where it's actually so opposite in many ways. So Montessori is a child-led philosophy. So what does that mean is that the environment is set up so that the child is actually going for things that he is interested in. And so he is learning in a sense by himself, but with an adult who can guide him. And so it's very different in the way, you know, schools are set up, or in the way that homes can be set up to actually just be more Montessori. But it's really that principle of building autonomy in the child, and confidence and independence, and allowing the child to do things by himself. Because a lot of the times, especially for younger kids, it's often that we want to do things for them, because it's sort of, you know, the sort of natural response of wanting to help them. Whereas that actually goes against their, you know, their development, because then they don't learn to actually do those things by themselves. And so when we pick up even like young babies who are crawling or who want to get up, and we put them somewhere constantly, they don't have that challenge to climb on something and learn and develop the skills and motor skills. And so Montessori is really about allowing the child to do things by himself. And so in schools, it's very specific, because there is a very, you know, specific material that's used. And it's really was created by Maria Montessori. And she was a doctor in the 20th century, and one of the few women in Italy who was a doctor. And she actually, it's really funny how we actually came up, because it was really for the kids who were out in the street, and the mayor, I can't remember exactly which city it was, just didn't know what to do with those kids, because the parents were working. And so she actually had that job to kind of create a little space for them. And that's when she discovered that children were actually interested in the things that we do, actually. So they were not so interested in play, because she had offered, you know, the toys or the different games so that the kids could play with. And she saw that their interest was more into simple things such as washing hands, combing their hair, dust pans, and all that. And so the more she observed the child and the children, she was able to offer them what we now call practical life, which is kind of just having your kid at home as a stay-at-home mom and letting him help you at home. So, you know, baking, cooking, cleaning, you know, all that normal stuff that we do as adults. And so that's what's called practical life. And so she offered a lot of that. And from that stemmed all the other material that's, you know, math related or language, which is really the child learning from his experience, but by his senses. So touching. Mm-hmm. So you have sandpaper letters and numbers and those kinds of things where the child really learns by experiencing first, really without knowing that it's math. And so there is no resistance later on. Into, oh, you know, math is boring, or like language. It's really, you know, they go through those different phases where children really have those sensitive periods. And it's during that time they learn a skill really easily and really fast. It's actually really incredible. And so it's set up so that you can actually guide the child to learn those specific skills in a way that's easy for them and fun, and they actually want to do. And so when it comes to doing that at home, it's pretty much the same, except that obviously you wouldn't have the same, you know, the whole material, mm-hmm. unless you're homeschooling and you're really trying to go hardcore Montessori, but it can be really expensive. So it really doesn't have to be expensive. It can be a lot of DIYs, and it's really about letting the child do things on his own, guiding him, helping in the house, and really observing your child and your children to know where they're at, to know where their interest lies, and to offer activities that actually they're interested in, because that's how they're really going to learn.
I love it. And it aligns so well with mindfulness and a lot of things that I speak about on this podcast, because I'll go back to a few things that you said. So number one is really seeing your child and really paying attention to their natural tendency and interests is really so important. So many times I think that we try to assume that we know what they're going to like, or what activities they should be involved in, or things like that. And instead we forget to just like take a breath, pause, and just really watch and observe our child and see what are their natural, you know, things that they lead towards. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think is so important. And then you bring up the senses, which is really the basis of being mindful, is tuning into our senses and really letting the children explore and be curious, you know, and that's how they're going to learn. And so I love both of those things. And then as far as, you know, letting the kids do things for themselves and help around the house, I just love that, because first of all, I think it's such a great way to build your kids' self-confidence.
Yes.
For them to really feel empowered to do things for themselves. I know it's, we tend to want to help our children, first of all, because we love them and we want to make it easy for them. Right. Secondly, sometimes I just think parents think it's just easier if I do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Right? Yeah.
But it's so empowering for a child to realize that they can be self-sufficient. And I think that that's important. And then as far as like helping with the house chores, what a fabulous way to connect with your child, bringing them into the kitchen with you. I just, you know, we just had an episode about cooking with your child and how that can form a great connection, and just, you know, having them work with you alongside you, mm-hmm. I think is really a wonderful way to connect with your kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All what you bring up here. Yes. It's so important. And I want to just come back to what you said, the sort of, you know, reaction that we have when, you know, it's easier to do it ourselves. And it is so much easier because we're going to do it like the right way, quote unquote, you know, and
right.
Our child, you know, especially when they're young, they're toddlers and they want to help to clean, you know, they're not really going to clean. You know?
Right.
Some may actually like really do a pretty good job, but, you know, and so you have to be obviously careful as to like not necessarily right away coming behind them and cleaning up, mm-hmm. Because otherwise they won't feel as confident. But in the long run, it is so important, because then kids will have this knowledge that I can do this, and it's also my job. It's not just mom who needs to like clean, cook and bake and do all those things, and they feel really just more naturally involved into that. So in the long run, it's so much more than just it's easier for us to do. And there are times, I think there are times where we can just simply choose and put the boundary that we just don't have that time, and it's okay too. We can't do everything with our children. And it's just as long as we set those clear boundaries when we have that time, and to make the time to really consciously make that effort to involve them, that in the future will just help tremendously too.
Yeah. And I think also too, it's helpful in a way that it seems like it's going to take longer, but in the end, because they feel involved and part of the process, there's going to be less battles,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. they feel they're part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And if you start young, this, you know, there's going to be less battles, because then it's not going to be a chore. It's just going to be something that's felt more natural because you've introduced this early on. And then obviously then there's certain, you know, kids who maybe have more resistance towards that. And then there is also this like inner work part that then, you know, how do you actually talk to your child about it? You know, how do you introduce that and all those different more subtle sides to it? But definitely introducing it young, it just makes things so much easier later on.
Yeah, because for sure when they get to be teenagers, there's going to be resistance about a lot of things. But if the seeds are planted young, I think that's so helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a parent coach, what are some of the most common struggles that you find your clients have?
Yeah. So as a lot of people who follow me, a lot of moms who actually follow me, they hear me talk a lot about, you know, Montessori and the environment and how important it is to adapt it. And so that's kind of the easy part. So this is where it's the easiest. They love it. They kind of crave it. And there is not much resistance. However, when it comes to the trigger part, and this is where the deeper work comes in, I would say sticking to a major problem is probably one of the struggles, because we sometimes tend to want to fix everything at once. And so taking the time again, you know, to kind of really look at what is going on. Where is that coming from? Can we allow ourselves to feel that? Is a struggle, because we just, especially in our world, we just want quick fixes, and that's not what it is. Especially if we want to really work on ourselves to heal those childhood wounds. And then patience. Patience is definitely one thing that is a struggle, because and it depends obviously on people, But it takes time to be able to actually uncover those baggages, those wounds, those triggers, because we may think that we have an idea of where it comes from, and that's more on the surface level. But digging those different layers takes time and dedication. And so if someone starts the work and they want a quick fix, that's not going to work. But throughout the sessions, really looking honestly just really requires patience and dedication. And then the third one I would say, which is probably a big one, is this sort of like sensations in the body sometimes are difficult to feel. And so we have to first really allow ourselves to come back to the body. And some moms struggle with that because we're so used to going in our head and thinking and planning and just like our society is made up like that. And so to release those childhood wounds, we really have to feel them. We have to allow ourselves to feel those emotions. And so there is a sort of, you know, preliminary work to sort of do a few things to come back in the body. Like mindfulness is also something that can be really helpful. Meditation, yoga, but it's even not, some people who actually do those practices, still when it comes to feeling those uncomfortable emotions, they're still sort of shut down from those emotions. And so it just requires some time. But I would say that's probably maybe one of the biggest struggle.
Yeah. And I like how your approach is to pick one thing to start with. I think that even when I'm giving advice on how to begin a mindfulness practice or begin a yoga practice, I always say, you know, bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. Choose one thing, because it can be very overwhelming, especially if parents are feeling a lot of struggles at home with their kids. I think they get overwhelmed at how can I fix all of this? It's mm-hmm. so much. And I think I like that approach that you said, like just pick one major problem and then dive deep into that and focus there. And then, small steps.
Yes.
And move forward. I really, really like that approach. And so I'm hearing that you have basically like three kind of approaches, one being the environment, one being the inner work, and then the third being being mindful. I know you're being mindful around food choices. So maybe we could go through each of those pillars. Let's maybe start with the environment and tell us a little bit more about setting up our environment and some tips on whether mm-hmm. that be at home or we're in the classroom or.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are different ways, you know, that we can set up the environment. But the main pillars that also that have to do with Montessori, but that also, you know, can be applied whether you are a Montessori fan or not. So I'll explain a little bit why, but so an environment should be adapted. And so adapted means, you know, you have to observe the child to know where your child's at so that it offers activities and things around the child that he can actually do. So that's one. But it needs to be clean and beautiful and obviously safe. That's one that we hear, you know, I think we've heard it enough. And orderly, because children go through this sensitive period that's called order. And we don't really talk a lot about this one. There's a lot, of, you know, have to do with motor skills and gross motor skills, fine motor skills. But order is something that children have from the beginning. And so having an environment, so let's say if, you know, the play area or the living area is where the child spends most of the day at home, clean and beautiful, because a child then learns to take care of the environment. And it's important, then it shows that that the environment is important to the child and then the child is important too. And so that doesn't mean being, you know, OCD but just thinking about it and having that in mind of having an orderly and clean environment. And decluttering is a really, really big piece at home, because if there is too much stuff, the child is going to be overstimulated, is not going to be able to learn properly. And by being also overstimulated, they're going to have more meltdowns. They're not going to feel as maybe even confident. They're going to be, you know, all these different behaviors that we sometimes don't want with our kids can stem from just an environment that's not adapted. And so decluttering is huge. And that, again, it doesn't have to be, you know, this huge thing. It can be a lot of steps here and there. And then make it simple. We tend to overthink things, you know. A child doesn't need much. They usually find so many other things that are interesting in the home that they start to discover. Even when they're really young, they start to discover the Tupperware drawer. So why not have, you know, Tupperwares in the bottom drawer so that they can stack them on top of each other, put them inside, you know, all that stuff, which is also great for the motor skills. And rotating is also a great way to have less stuff out. And you don't need to, you know, to do this every week if it's something that's too much, but just kind of thinking about not having too much stuff and that there is a certain kind of order, that there is one toy, one activity per spot. So this is a big thing in Montessori. So I've seen a lot of moms use big boxes and for a lot of toys in there. So if you have a train set or, you know, like usually train sets, you know, you would put them in a box or something bigger, and that's totally fine because it's, you know, it has many pieces. But mixing up all the different toys and activities in one big box is actually going to create a big mess because the child, to kind of get one thing out, needs to get everything out sometimes. And it's not very clear as to, like, you know, where the toy is. And so instead of having big boxes, having maybe smaller trays, smaller baskets, smaller things that the child can actually go and pick up. And it's then so much easier to guide the child to put things back because it's about taking one thing, one tray, one basket, and not a big box with like a ton of things inside. And then the child feels overwhelmed and then has to put all that back. And so thinking about how to, even with small places, there's so many things we can do even with small places, really. When we simplify things, that we put a specific order, and then how can we set it up so that it promotes independence? Because that's a big piece. If your child has a ton of toys, it's going to be difficult because it's going to be difficult for the child to stay alone enough because he's going to be overstimulated. He's not going to be able to concentrate on one thing. He's going to pass from one activity to another and constantly, and then may feel agitated. And so having less and one toy per place is going to allow the child to actually be more independent because he's going to be able to just go take one thing, play with it, put it back as, you know, as he's guided, depending on the age too. And that's really important to think about, especially when they're young, because it's they have those sensitive periods. But for school, I've seen also teachers who are in the, you know, traditional system use some of the Montessori material. And so this is great, for example, because there's you know, what we call the blue rods or the blue and red rods. Those are, you know, long wooden rods who are who teach the children how to count, but also then you can use them how to multiply, or how to do additions, subtractions, and etc. And so they incorporate that in their classroom. But it's just such a different thing. The classrooms is so different because it's usually we're all doing the same thing in the same time. Whereas Montessori is really about finding this balance, even in their classrooms, having one activity only. There is no two activities of the same, you know, it's only one. And so the child needs to learn patience. They, you know, the child, if he wants to do that activity, needs to wait or observe how it's done or do something else. You know, there's a whole, it's a whole different system. So, you know, when it comes to schools, I would say, like, you know, maybe incorporating some of the material is a great way to use some of the Montessori philosophy too.
Those are great tips. Yeah. And I think simplifying is, yes. we could all use that, right? For our kids and their toys. But I think for adults, simplifying, yes, definitely, our environment is so helpful. So those are really, really great tips. And I know we've already kind of talked a little bit about doing the next pillar of doing your inner work as a parent, But you want to, is there anything else you want to share about that, about the benefits or tips on how to get started with that?
Yes, yes, yes. So the benefits, oh my gosh. I mean, the benefits are tremendous. I don't think that, you know, sometimes when we're into it, really stuck, we feel stuck. We can't see, you know, the light out of the tunnel. We have, you know, difficulty actually seeing how this can help, you know, because we've tried so many things. But this piece is just, from my experience and from, you know, helping some moms, being able to actually really open up to our children and really feel like we're there, like we've received them fully, like we can feel our emotions, but in the same time be present, is such an incredible experience for us as parents, but especially for the children, because their behaviors just shift immediately. There is no working on the children. There is just work on ourselves. And as soon as we work on ourselves and our blockages, our children literally stop those annoying behaviors most of the time. If, you know, there's, if it has to do also with the environment, there is that, but the inner work is just incredibly powerful. And so I would say, really, what I usually tell moms who have not done, you know, necessarily a lot of that work of, you know, coming back to the body, but even those who have and are still struggling with, you know, being reactive and et cetera, and that has to do with, you know, whether your children are young or not. It's really about allowing yourselves to feel in that moment. So observing what you're doing is a really great first step. For me, taking a deep breath did not work. I was so highly triggered by my child that I just, like, you know, taking a deep breath, taking a pause, that did not work. So I had to just really observe what was going on in my body. Where did I feel those emotions? What were those emotions? And being clear into, like, what kind of behavior is really triggering me the most. And then little by little, because most of the time we don't necessarily have the time right then to actually sit down, you know, close our eyes and allow ourselves to feel, to sort of stay connected to that feeling throughout the day, here and there, not shut down completely, even if it's anger, even if it's something where we really don't want to feel. And then later in the day, if the child's asleep, we can talk with our partner, journal, and kind of really feel what is there. Because often the first step of feeling is the biggest, because we have so many resistance. We go in our head, we kind of, you know, look at just the story. We come back to the story all the time instead of feeling. And that's really the first big step, is to really allow ourselves to come back to the body and feel the anger, feel the sadness, feel all those emotions that are surface level. And then the more you do that, the more you can actually get to these different layers to get later on to the roots, to the really deep wounds that we have, you know. And that's why we're so triggered, because it's actually touching those deep knots, and not just the, you know, not just the surface level feeling of anger, but there's really something behind that.
So yeah, it's really kind of like the first step is almost like taking an inventory of your emotions and paying attention to the different parts of the day, really, that when are those coming up?
Yeah. And allowing yourself to really feel, because we can get stuck into this sort of like, you know, oh, I feel this way. I feel this way. I feel this way. And so we're kind of like talking about it, where we can write about it, explain. And that's, again, a way to protect ourselves, because if we actually allow ourselves to feel, it's like we're losing parts of those protection mechanisms. And we've put these in place for a reason. And so it almost feels, you know, it's not almost, it feels dangerous to us to let go of those protection mechanisms. And so by feeling, it's almost as if, you know, you're going really against your survival mechanism, because you are. And that's where that patience comes in, and dedication, because that's really how you can heal yourself. And that's how the healing also just transfers to the child. And it's hard work, but it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's like really diving deep into it. And it's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so then your next pillar that you focus on is about being mindful about food choices. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes. So when it comes to that, this I do really more with the moms that I work with. I've actually stopped really sharing this in general, just about it, but focus more on Montessori and inner work. But with the moms that I work with, if I see that there is, issues with sleep, with certain kinds of behaviors, this is something that I really, really recommend often to actually check is food allergies or sensitivities. And my child, I was already aware of, food sensitivities and allergies. And so when my child had such bad eczema, I, as a breastfeeding mom, I had to take a lot of the foods out. But it was really hard to actually figure out what was exactly making it so bad, because it was a delayed allergy. And so when I work with moms, I always look, if a child is if it's a baby, there's no, it's not that it's not normal to sleep, but if there's eczema or if there's other things that are related to that, that means that there is an issue with the gut. That means that there is, maybe a food intolerance, and there's those kinds of things. And so the mom has to look also at her own diet. And being aware of the main allergens, I think, is just extremely helpful, because I have seen some babies go from, being sleep deprived, waking up every 30 minutes, having trouble sleeping throughout the day. And so parents, so many parents, and I was one of them, having to, walk all constantly so that the baby can sleep, to just in one night switching formulas or stopping, like, dairy, for example, for the mom, for the breastfeeding mom, and the baby completely sleeping, and just having no issues with, colics or whatever. And so this is a huge piece in sort of kind of this whole approach of looking at the well-being of the child and the mom, because we're so connected when we're young. And sleep is, is a huge, huge issue for moms. And so if we forget about this side, and sugar too, if we have a kid who's super sensitive and seems to be just super, reactive and very charged and, constant overload of energy, and has a very high sugar intake, it has a huge impact on that too. And so looking at that for me is just extremely important too, so that I can actually really help moms to really be able to look at the big picture and find solutions.
Yeah, it's important. And I think it's a piece that we forget about. But I experienced that with one of my sons, my third child. He ended up having a milk protein allergy. And it took us about 6 weeks to figure that out. But he couldn't, he couldn't sleep on his own. He wanted to be held all the time. But what we came to found out, he was having so much stomach pain. But he had no other symptoms as far as the allergy goes. And, until we took a little deeper look and was able to get his stool tested. And then they realized that, he was having a reaction to the milk protein. And then it was an immediate fix, for the sleep once we got him on the correct diet.
Yeah.
So it really, really does. It's really an important piece that I think we forget about sometimes when it comes to behaviors, that it can really be linked to our food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've given us so much great information. So I just want to give parents maybe like your top three tips to get started on a journey of kind of, helping their situation with this kind of approach.
Yeah, yes, yes. So the first one I would say, one that is, not too hard, would be to look at them, at home, to see if there's too much stuff, and start to think about the stuff that, the children really use, and declutter all the other stuff, because it's going to be so easier for the child and for you as a parent to be able to actually deal with all that. And I see just so many moms overwhelmed all the time with all these toys everywhere, and how their children don't want to put things back. And so decluttering is really a huge piece. And it really, it doesn't have to be hard. I know that a lot of moms you know, they talk about it and they say, you know, I just don't have time. But if you take, you know, and you have throughout your day, throughout your week, for some people, it could be 10 minutes daily. Like one big, you know, okay, my kids are my grandparents this weekend and I feel like doing this. We all have different ways of doing things, following our rhythm or just like having to be, you know, scheduled. And so finding what works for you, but just little step, you know, like we mentioned, little steps towards that, you know, having less stuff. And then when it comes to communication, we as parents, we set examples. And so it's really important to be clear and consistent with what we do and what we say. And so when it comes also to putting things back, helping the child, guiding the child to put things back, to help at home, to do those things, it's so important to be clear, because sometimes we're not really clear with our expectations or what should be happening, and we do one thing, we say another. And so being clear and consistent is so important, because the child will then know what that actually means. If, you know, you say, okay, when, you know, we take something out, we take a toy, well, you know, if you want to play with something else, it's time to put it back. If you say that every time and not sometimes, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm just like, I can't now. And, you know, there are days where we can't, and that's okay. But just most of the time, it's so important to follow through what we say on a consistent basis. That is another tip that I see very often also come out. We didn't necessarily mention it throughout the talk, but really, you know, coming back to guiding the child to put things back and helping at home, this is a huge piece. And the last one, I would say, really feeling, you know, often we try to dismiss it, you know, we try to dismiss that, you know, I already know, like I felt triggered because my child does this, but a trigger is a reaction, not because of the behavior of the child, but because we carry something inside of us that makes us angry. So it's not about the child and it's really about us. And so really taking this sort of responsibility and allowing ourselves to kind of, you know, maybe journal, talk about it, and come back to the body to feel, focus on, you know, okay, the breath, but then where do we feel, you know, that anger, that sadness, that frustration? Is it in the chest? Is it in the stomach, in the throat? Staying with that sensation in the body for some time. And if, you know, we see ourselves come up back in the head, you know, start to think about things, just coming back to that sensation is really, you know, something that is going to allow moms and parents to just really take the time they need to come back to the body and kind of shed those different layers of emotions to get little by little to those deeper wounds.
I love it. Those are great tips. And the last piece of that, you know, inner work is where, you know, I'm so passionate about that, because I really feel like we can't show up for our kids the way we need to if we don't do that part, if we don't do that hard work. And as we've said a bunch of times, it's not easy, but so important to start taking that step. It's important for you, you know, as a person, and then it really affects your children. So
yeah, it really does. Does. And it's just, you know, when you actually do the work and when you see the impact it has, you know, when you can see the before and after, it's so incredible. And it can be with something even, you know, it doesn't have to be accessing this huge, you know, childhood wound. It can be just, you know, allowing yourself to feel something and release just a simple emotion that you feel. And then seeing that your child's behavior just shifts from seeking attention to just, you know, playing independently, for example. It can be, you know, it doesn't need to take a lot of effort all the time. And it's so transformational for everybody.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think once we sort of make that connection, then it sort of gets easier, because it's going to be the same things that come up often, right? So
yes,
doing, you know, getting started, you know, is a great thing, because once you get it rolling and once you start experiencing that and allowing those emotions, and it starts the ball rolling. And I think it gets easier as we do the work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if listeners want to work with you, how can they connect with you? What offers do you have?
So I do mostly work, like I have a Facebook group that is for moms. And so this is really where I nurture all my moms, and I have weekly trainings and sometimes guests in there. So I have my my Facebook group that's called Gentle Parenting with Montessori, a group for overwhelmed moms. And I am working. I have taken my site down because it just wasn't really. So I'm on Facebook under also Sunshine Reconnect and on Instagram. And so people can just also message me on there. And I have, you know, one-on-ones. I'm working on a membership soon and a group coaching program very soon too.
Great. Well, I'll link your Facebook group and your Instagram page in the show notes so that people can find you easily. And thank you so much. This was so great talking with you, and you have so many great tips to offer. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to share with us.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. It was really a pleasure talking with you.
That was such a great conversation with Yelena. Here are some takeaways. One, parenting is a constant work in progress. Allow yourself to come back to the body and allow your feelings. 2. Montessori is a child-led philosophy. The environment is set up for the child to access things that interest him. 3. Giving children autonomy helps them to develop skills and self-confidence. 4. Practical life is a way in which children learn through helping with our everyday tasks. 5. Observe your child to see where their natural interests lie. 6. Children learn through their senses. 7. When implementing change, choose one piece at a time. 8. Decluttered and simple environments can help your child to learn properly and not be overstimulated. 9. Inner work for parents usually leads to less behavior issues in your child. And 10. Clear and consistent communication with your child is important. I hope that you all really enjoyed that episode and got some wonderful benefits from the tips that Yelena had to share. It was really a fun conversation, and I hope that you all enjoyed it. And I will be back next Thursday. No Mindful Monday episode next week. As a reminder, I am taking a few Mondays off to spend some time with my family and enjoy this transition into the summer. I will be back next Thursday, though, with a beautiful interview with Betty Larea. And Betty is a children's book author and a yoga teacher. And I am excited for you all to hear that episode next week. So I will see you then. And in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath. Thank you for joining me on my mission to spread peace and joy by introducing children and families to the power of yoga and mindfulness. I could not achieve this goal without all of you listening and trying these tips with the kids in your life. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, please subscribe and leave me a review. If you would also suggest this podcast to parents and teachers, I would be so grateful. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Mindful Moments for Families and on Facebook at Kidding Around Yoga with Kelly. For more information on my offered programs, such as yoga classes for children and adults, workshops and professional development, and corporate chair yoga, visit my website at kiddingaroundyoga.com/Kelly. I'll see you all here on our next episode But in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath.